Puram. Hare Krishna, Chaitanya, Avanityananda, Sri Advaita, Charananda Shiva Sade, Gaura Bhaktavinoda, Hare Krishna, Chaitanya, Gauram Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare 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 Rama Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Govind Jai Jai, Gopal Jai Jai, Govind Jai Jai, Gopal Jai Jai, Govind Jai Jai, Gopal Jai Jai, Radha Mana Hari, Govind Jai Jai, Radha Mana Hari, Govind Jai Jai, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, 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 Hare Hare Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada, 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 Hey Prabhupada, I go Vimanandi, Jiva Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. Welcome. Thank you for coming. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gina Jina Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shagurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swam Patantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhunitananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Approximately 520 years ago, the Lord appeared on this earth planet, the place called Navadvip, Mayapur. Can you hear me in the back? You can actually, you can sit on a couch if you like. If it feels uncomfortable, feel free to sit on the couch if you like. Okay. Approximately 520 years ago, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Supreme Lord, appeared on this earth in order to teach religious principles for this particular age. According to Vedic calculation, there are four ages that make up mankind. They're called the Golden Age, the Silver Age, the Bronze Age, and the Iron Age. And each of those ages, there is a particular method in order to attain what we say God consciousness or self-realization. And the method is not given by any religious system. It's given by the Lord Himself. And according to the climate of the age, in other words, the temperament of the people, the atmosphere of society, and what is the most conducive form of worship, the Lord manifests that as what is called in Sanskrit Yuga Dharma. Yuga means age and Dharma means the religion. So what is the religious principles of each age? And it's enacted by the Lord Himself. And the Lord incarnates in each age to teach those principles directly. And in three of the ages, the first three ages, the Golden Age, the Silver Age, and the Bronze Age, He comes as God Himself. We're getting station 13 in the background here. Can you hear me? Yeah? Okay. Because my voice is a little weak today today we're undergoing fasting, so we don't have so much power today. Today's a fast day. So, in the first three ages, the Lord comes directly. But in this age we live in now, this is called, we live in what is called the Iron Age. It is considered an age where to practice God consciousness or to be, what we say, spiritually minded is very difficult. And it's not according to the trend of the times. Each age has a certain quality of life that is conducive to the age.
In the Golden Age, 99.9% of the population was fully God conscious and lived by religious principles and practiced that as every aspect of their life. As the ages continue, religious principles start to decrease. And one religious principle is lost in every age. There are four religious principles: mercy, cleanliness, austerity, and truthfulness. These are the four legs that religion stands on: cleanliness, truthfulness, austerity, and mercy. So in each age, in the Golden Age, all four were there. In the next age, in the Silver Age, one was lost. In the next stage, another was lost. And now we're in what is called the Iron Age. And there's one principle left, and that is truthfulness, to some degree. And generally, the majority of the population is not interested in God. They're interested in economic development and satisfying the needs of the body and senses. This becomes the focus in life. And therefore, to practice spiritual life in this age is quite difficult. It's very difficult. So according to the climate of the age, the Lord enacts a certain type of, what we say, process, which is conducive to the climate. In the Golden Age, it was very severe and difficult types of meditation. Sitting in yoga posture and practicing the pranayama, controlling the breath and rolling the eyes to the top of the head, blocking out all external visions and practicing various types of rules and regulations, going to a sacred place away from the general population and meditating on the form of the Lord within the heart. And then that meditation, as it deepens, it becomes concentration, then meditation, then we say samadhi. Samadhi means full absorption. Who can do that in this age? No one. It's practically impossible. It's a very severe time. So that is not the means for self-realization in this age. The next age, it was costly Vedic sacrifices, using various amounts of wealth, gold, grains, and various types of precious metals and various types of natural resources that were very readily available in the atmosphere, and performing great sacrifices, chanting mantras from the Vedas, with the priests chanting so perfectly the exact mantra without even a slight deviation in the pronunciation. Can't find such priests nowadays. They're not qualified. So no one can practice these costly Vedic sacrifices. And then in the next stage, which is the Copper Age or Bronze Age, the method was worshiping the Lord in the form of his deity, Archa Vigraha, worshiping the Lord on the altar. But now in this age, to practice any of those previous ones and to attain perfection in spiritual life is impossible. No one has the, what we say, we use the word sukriti, or the pious activities to devote themselves to such severe forms of spiritual practice. And the Lord knows that. Therefore, he's very merciful. Therefore, in this age, the Lord came personally to teach the method of self-realization in this age. In previous ages, he came and enacted the method in the position of God. But in this age, he comes as a devotee of God. He's no longer in the role of God. He's a devotee of God. And in that teaching, he's giving the perfect example of what the student should do. We say when the teacher becomes the student and teaches the student what the teacher wants, then that is the perfect teaching, right? If the teacher comes down, he's in the first grade, he's teaching the children how to write. So you may put an A on the board, right? Okay, you write A. So the kids are dropping their pencil, you know. And the A is crooked. So he comes over, he grabs their hand. He says, okay, hold the pencil. Okay, now you just follow my hand. You go up, and you need to go down. And then perfect A, right? He does it. But he's guiding you directly. So in this age, the Lord came personally to show how to become a devotee of himself. Quite extraordinary. And what was the principles he enacted? Was chanting of his own name. Glorification of the Lord by chanting his own name. And the Lord has many names. We say the Lord is unlimited. That means anything about the Lord has no material limit. His qualities are unlimited. His forms are unlimited. His activities are unlimited. His compassion is unlimited. His mercy is unlimited. And his names are also unlimited. So in this age, he's enacted the principle of chanting of his own name as the means for self-realization. He's made the process easy. Anyone can do it. Just simply chant. That's all. And one can attain the highest stage of God realization through the process of chanting the Lord's name. If someone said to you, if you do this one thing, you can accomplish many things. Wouldn't that be an interesting thing to seek after? Say you have so many things in your life you want to fulfill. And the person says, okay, if you simply do this, then this will lead to success in everything else you do. Isn't that, wouldn't you want to focus on that instead of trying to do every little thing individually? So by chanting or praying, using the name of God, so many things happen. Spiritually. Positively. So the Lord's name is empowered with all his, what we say, qualities and his energies. So when Lord Chaitanya came, he taught 8 prayers. They're called Shik Shastika. Shik means instructions and astika means 8. 8 particular prayers, which are the instructions of how to perform devotion to the Lord in this age. When the Lord came in previous ages, he did so much to propagate religious principles in terms of leaving so much writings behind him. But in this age, he only wrote 8 prayers. That's all. But in those 8 prayers, everything's there. In those 8 prayers, everything. And the first prayer I would like to recite and to explain. Because in this first prayer, everything is included. And in the... Yes?
You said that there are so many names of God.
Yeah. In the second prayer, the Lord explains that he has unlimited names. And one can chant any of the names of God. But then, in the discussion based on this prayer, it's explained that there are primary names and secondary names. To get the mercy of the Lord, one should chant or pray using the primary names. The secondary names of God are not considered to be as powerful or as effective as the primary names. So an example of the secondary names is Paramatma, Ishwara, Brahman, God, like that. In other words, they denote his qualities of function. God is a functionary who takes care and maintains the universe. But in his primary names are his sweet names that denote his loving relationships with his devotees. So one should chant the primary names, which are unlimited. Which are unlimited like that.
Do you think that cycle of gold, silver, bronze, and iron will repeat itself again?
It does.
So after now, I will need to move into the gold sometime.
Yeah, but don't wait around. It'll take a long time. This age began 5,105 years ago, approximately, on February 17th. It's the next exact date. You can actually get the date. And it will last 427,000 years. No, it will last 432,000, which we have 427,000 left. So for the next 10,000 years, there will be a golden age within this age, which began 5,500 years ago and will progress for 5,000 years. And after 5,000 years, it will reach a pinnacle, and then it'll decrease for the next 5,000. So altogether, there will be 10,000 years of a golden age. It's starting to manifest already. But after that, then you better not hang around. Because it's what happens after that is that the age becomes very, very bad. Very bad. And that's described in the scriptures. What is the future of Kali Yuga? Kali Yuga, this Yuga means age. Kali means the age of quarrel, the age of hypocrisy. Everyone quarrels with everyone else on all levels, family level, friendship level, social level, national level, political level. There's quarrels all over the world. And some of these quarrels escalate into major wars. This is the age of quarrel. Hypocrisy? What is hypocrisy? Everyone is presenting themselves to be something other than they actually are. Everyone thinks, you know, I'm this, but actually they have no qualifications to be exactly what they claim to be. So it's the age of quarrel, it's an age of hypocrisy. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach in this age that there is a light, a bright light in this age, and that is his mercy in this age. If we take advantage of that, we'll be benefited. And it's open to everyone. It's not a sectarian thing. It's not an Indian thing. It is actually a principle that can be adopted by anyone. Because true religious principles are non-sectarian. They have nothing to do with a particular religion or a particular culture. They have to do with the relationship between the Lord and the living beings in this world. And those principles, what we say, transcend, or what we say, what's the word? They cut across all sectarian religious barriers, and they are the essence of religious principles. And what is that? To know God and to love God. And one, as we know God, we develop our love for God. Okay. And in that, in knowing God and loving God, there is the element of service to God, serving God like that. So Lord Chaitanya taught eight prayers. And the first prayer, he describes there are seven benedictions for chanting. There's seven benedictions. And the first one, the Sanskrit goes, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam. Chaita means mind, Darpanam means mirror, and Marjanam means to clean. The mind, in its natural state, is clear. It reflects the nature of the soul. When the mind comes in contact with the external energy, such as this material world, it adopts various types of conceptions, misconceptions, desires, aspirations, so many things, which are many of them contrary to our spiritual nature. And they cover the mind, the pure mind, which covers the pure soul. Therefore, one cannot perceive one's relationship with God. chant the holy names, and gradually what happens? It's like wiping the dust away from the mirror. It cleans the mirror of the mind, and gradually the soul starts to become awakened within that cleansing process. So the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that it cleans the heart and cleans the mind. Like that. The principle of human society is to keep things clean, right? Everyone likes a clean place, right? Right? If you go into someone's house and there's a mess, you just want to get out of there, right? Like, oh, why don't you clean the place? You know? Cleanliness is a feature of a civilized society. Everything looks clean, neat, and then actually you actually feel happy in that atmosphere. So why not clean the mind too? So what's the dirt in the mind? The dirt in the mind is envy, lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride. These are all forms of dirt that are covering the mind, which are making our relationship with the Lord obscure, or practically even covered. When we chant the holy names of the Lord, gradually we're wiping away these dirts, this dust, and the soul and the mind is becoming clean, like that. The process of spiritual life means to a process of transforming our consciousness to me-centered to thee-centered. Going from me-centered to thee-centered, like that. Nice if we had a microphone, I wouldn't have to yell. Do you have a microphone here? PA system? No? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm straining, but if you can hear me, it's good.
Yeah, I can hear you.
You can hear
me.
Don't worry, we don't bite. We're vegetarian. Okay. Please get comfortable. Would you like to sit on the couch? You sure? Okay. Because we're not the floor religion. We actually believe in chairs too. So you can come and find, if you find yourself feeling uncomfortable, don't hesitate to sit on the couch. So that is the first benediction, that by chanting the Lord's name, those things that will we say that are contrary to our spiritual, our relationship with the Supreme Lord, gradually become wiped away. Gradually. That is called purifying the heart, purifying the mind. First benediction. That's a powerful one, because the soul, by nature, loves God. But the soul is covered by these other things. You take away these things, and then the natural love for the Lord, the Lord is there. Just like the mirror has a reflecting power, but when covered with dust, its reflecting power is obscured or even, you know, completely hidden. Wipe it away, it's back into its natural position again. So our minds and hearts are covered by these, what we say, unwanted things. Chant the holy name. The holy name is so powerful because it's God in sound that gradually all the heart and mind becomes purified. Second benediction. Bhava maha dirvagni nirvapanam. This material world we live in is compared to a blazing forest fire, which consumes everything in its path. People say, it's a nice place. Take a second look. There is miseries that come with old age, miseries that come with disease, of course, the misery of death. And we also forgot the misery that comes when we take birth, how much suffering is involved in bringing a child into the world. These are all forms of suffering. Janma, Mityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Dosha, Darshanam. These are the miseries that you can't get around. What is a problem? What's the definition of a problem? A problem is something nobody wants. A common problem. A problem is something nobody wants, nobody can avoid, and what's the other one? Nobody wants it, nobody can avoid it, and it's common to all. So what is the qualities of something that's like that? It's common to all, nobody wants it, and nobody can avoid it. Birth, old age, disease, and death. Everybody has to go through these things. We suffer these things. That's a common problem. It comes by taking a body in this material world. And then we have the miseries of the mind and the miseries of the body. Everyone knows those things, right? Oh, the back, right? The mind is giving so much problems, so many things, right? This doesn't work, you know. Now I have three legs. I used to have two. I'm walking with a cane. Now I got four eyes. I can't see. Three ears. I got a hearing aid. You know, so many things. As time goes on, you see all these miseries. When you're young, you're thinking, hey, you know, wait a little while. And all these miseries start coming. Miseries of the body, miseries of the mind. And then there's miseries caused by other living entities, such as you're sitting peacefully and it's a nice warm day and all of a sudden you get bit by a mosquito. You didn't want that, but you got it. Or you're laying nicely in the sun, right? And all of a sudden you got, you know, sunburned. Or another misery is you come into a particular country and you become a citizen and the government just taxes, that takes all your money in the form of taxes, right? Another form of misery, right? Miseries caused by other living entities. You walk along the street and a big dog comes, rah, just scares you, right? Your heart just drops out of your body into your feet. Miseries caused by other living beings, right? This is always there, right? Your colleagues at work, right? There's misery caused by other living beings. And then, what's the last one? Misery is caused by higher powers. Excessive heat, excessive cold, drought, famine, tornadoes, earthquakes. So many natural calamities. Look what happened to the city of New Orleans. Finished the whole city, practically. They still haven't rebuilt it. They can't, actually. So these things, all of a sudden they come. These are the built-in miseries of this world. How to get around them? There's a solution. Chant the holy names. Actually, you can transcend these miseries. Why? Because when one takes shelter of the Lord, especially in the holy name, the Lord gives protection. He diminishes the effects of all these miseries, and He allows us to live in such a way that we can worship Him without having to be bothered with all these difficulties. There may be still some effects of these, but they're minimized to the bare minimum. The Lord does that for those who take shelter and chant His name. He reduces that. And even the misery of death, everyone says, there's a saying in Bengal, what is the worst thing? Death. Right? It takes everything away. Or, what did Shakespeare say? A famous quote, there's the rub. Right? There's the rub. Everything is going so nicely, and then all of a sudden, I usually have a microphone to do this. But yes, who's that? It's death calling. Oh, it's time to go. Yep. And then it's all over, right? And it comes unexpectedly. So how to overcome all these miseries? There's a way. Even death can be overcome. One can achieve immortality. Why? How is it possible to achieve immortality? Because you are immortal. That's the truth. The soul is not subject to death, nor birth, nor change. It always remains connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in loving service. But in that connection, there's a covering, and that is called our material life. As soon as we transcend the material laws of nature, we actually come to the spiritual platform. And then we don't die. We actually simply go to another place. The body dies. Actually, I'll tell you something. The body is never alive. Did you know that? You think your body is alive? It's already dead. No, it's a fact. What gives life to this body is the presence of the soul. When the soul is in the body works. When the soul is gone from the body, although it has all the components, it doesn't function anymore. It's like a car. When the driver's there, the car moves nicely, goes back, forward, beeps, the horn beeps, turns left and right, the lights go on, and so many nice things happen. They get you where you want to go. But when there's no driver, it's just a showpiece. But similarly, this body is simply a combination of material elements. But when the soul is there, then everything works. It gives life to all parts of the body. That is who we are. We are that soul within the body. So when a body at one point will cease to function, and then that means the soul leaves. But then we're leaving, but we're not dying. We're just going to another place. So now I can give you the theoretical understanding of that, but how to realize that comes by chanting the names of the Lord. By chanting the names of the Lord, we can actually understand that, yes, I am actually not this body. I'm eternal. I am actually the Lord's part and parcel. I'm the Lord's servant. Like that. So one can transcend the miseries of this material world. People are working so hard somehow to do two things. Life is two things. Increase the happiness, decrease the suffering, right? Everything you do centers around these two things. Increase the happiness, decrease the suffering. And guess what? As hard as you try, suffering still comes. And you just think, well, I'm just not a good plan maker. I have to just improve my plans. But the fact is, you can't. It's just the way it is. If you walk into an insane asylum and everybody's acting crazy, and you say, why is everybody crazy here? Because you're in the insane asylum, that's why. If you don't want everybody to be crazy, you have to go to another place where they're all normal. So in the same way, this material world is built-in suffering. And you can't avoid it. If you could avoid it, then you would be God. But you can't avoid it. It's just the way it is. Unless you come to the spiritual platform, then you're no longer within the material energy. You're on the spiritual platform. When you connect with God, God is above the material energy. You also connect with the Lord. And therefore, you also take on those same qualities. You take on those same qualities like that. So chant the holy names of the Lord. Gradually, the fire of material suffering becomes less, less, and less. One actually starts to feel, first quality is peaceful. Second one is happy. Third is joy. Fourth is ecstasy. It goes like that. One can actually feel ecstatically happy within their heart as long as they can keep connected with the Lord through His holy name. It's a reality. It's not a theory. Third benediction. Shreya Kaiva Vichandrika Vitaranam. This is nice. Shreya means auspicious. And Kairava means lotus flower. And Shreya Kaiva Vichandrika. Chandrika means moon. Now, those of you who know, there's a flower called lotus. And they're pretty rare. But the lotus flower is very special. It blooms by the rays of the sun. And it sits within the water, and it doesn't take on any water that hits it, it rolls off it. It always remains pure in any place, even though it's in a muddy place, it always remains pure. But the quality of the Kairava is a type of lotus flower that blooms by the rays of the moon, not by the rays of the sun. So in this verse, Lord Chaitanya is saying that everyone has good fortune. It's like a treasure. Everyone has the opportunity to awaken within their life good fortune. It's there. Some people have awakened it, and other people, they don't know where it is. It's still hidden within their life. So as the rays of the moon hit the lotus flower, what happens? The lotus flower starts to bloom. So when we come in contact with the Lord, we awaken our good fortune. Our good fortune has been awakened. And specifically in the coming in contact with the Lord through His name, and then we awaken to our good fortune. So that's the third benediction. The first two, clearing the mind, purifying the mind, pushing back suffering, is simply the material external energy has been removed. The next one is the beginning of our spiritual life. We're starting to feel the presence of the Lord in the sound of His name. And this is Lord Chaitanya is explaining, simply by chanting, one will start to experience their good fortune. Third benediction. This verse is pure poetry. Pure poetry. The fourth one is Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. This is the fourth benediction. You'll like this one. Vidya means knowledge. And Vadhu means bride, and Jivanam means life. Now, knowledge, or spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge, becomes awakened in connection with the Holy Name. Just like when we read the scriptures. How much do we understand? Of course, some understand more than others, but generally we understand very, very little. Because we don't have the consciousness to understand what is being said. We can get some ideas. Chant the holy names of the Lord, transcendental knowledge becomes awakened or enlivened, just as a bridegroom enlivens the bride. That's the Sanskrit. The word Vadhu means bride. And the knowledge is considered to be the bridegroom. The name is considered to be the bridegroom. Knowledge is considered to be the bride. And the bride becomes happy in the presence of the bridegroom. In the same way, transcendental knowledge becomes awakened in the presence of the Lord in the form of His holy name. Then when you read, and then when you come in contact with spiritual philosophy, you can understand it and you can actually practice it. Because, as they say, people read books, they read so many philosophical and spiritual books, but really, it remains pretty much aloof. Therefore, because we can't really penetrate spiritual knowledge simply by intellectual abilities. Intellectual abilities cannot penetrate spiritual knowledge because spiritual knowledge is a secret. It's a closed secret. It's like, how do I describe it? Everyone knows it, but only few understand it. That's why it's called a secret. It's available for everyone, but how many actually understand it? That's why it's a secret. When we chant the holy names of the Lord, that knowledge gradually becomes revealed. And then when you read, and then when you come to contact with this knowledge, you actually start to understand it. Not only understand it, but experience it. And that's higher, to experience this knowledge. Just like, there is theory, and then there is, we say, practice. Or there is theory and then there is realization. Just like I can say, you're not this body. So what? Does it make any difference? To some degree. But to understand, to realize I'm not this body is different than simply hearing that I'm not this body. It's a difference. Just like going into a restaurant, you sit down and you come and you want to order some food. And the waiter brings the menu. You look at the menu. You read the whole menu. You say, thank you very much. It's a great meal. And you walk out. Right? It's not really much of a experience. So transcendental knowledge is an experience. And as we chant the holy names of the Lord, that experience actually becomes awakened. Becomes awakened. Fifth benediction. This one you'll like. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. It's an ocean of happiness. There's an unlimited ocean of transcendental happiness that is available by chanting the Lord's name. Unlimited. It says that the jiva, the soul, is limited and God is unlimited. But the jiva, the living being, although limited, in contact with the unlimited, takes on the qualities of unlimitedness. And therefore, the happiness that we can experience is no limit. There's no limit. It just keeps going up, 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 up. In other words, there's so much happiness and joy and ecstasy in the Lord's holy name that the more we come in contact with it, the more the soul experiences that. Because the soul is by nature blissful. Everyone is looking for pleasure. Everyone is looking for happiness. And it's found in connection with the Lord. And especially in chanting His holy name. Unlimited. So I'll tell you a little story to show you how transcendental pleasure works. Would you like to hear a little story? Okay. Krishna's there. And Radharani's there. Okay? Is that a good start? Okay. So Krishna looks at Radharani and he sees how beautiful she is, and he experiences an increasing in happiness. When he sees how beautiful she is, he becomes happy. And when he becomes happy, he becomes more beautiful. And then Radharani looks at Krishna and notices that Krishna has become more beautiful. So she becomes more happy. And then she becomes more beautiful. And then Krishna looks at Radharani and sees that she's become more happy, more beautiful. So he becomes more happy, and then he becomes more beautiful. And then Radharani looks over at Krishna and sees that Krishna has become more beautiful, so she becomes more happy, and then she becomes more beautiful. And it just keeps going. Don't try it with your wife or husband. It may work once or twice, but after that it starts getting, you know, it starts going downhill. But in the transcendental realm, what I'm saying is that things are never static. They're always getting greater and greater. And so the happiness you one experiences in spiritual life is unlimitedly developing. It's more and more. So much so, I'll give you an example. We have our good devotee here, one of my good friends, Chandra. Now, he had a spiritual master. His name was Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And just recently, he left the world. And he left the world because he had cancer. A very severe case of what is called melanoma cancer. And he fought that cancer for about a year. Actually, for about 6 months. But in the last 6 months, he stopped fighting it and just focused himself on his spiritual life completely. And he was preaching and writing and inspiring others in their spiritual life while he was undergoing this severe case of cancer. Severe. I mean, this cancer is very, very painful. And he was in the later stages of this cancer. But he continued to do his service to the Lord and to the devotees of the Lord. So much so that in his experience with the cancer, he was not even able to sleep because it was so painful. But yet, at the same time, it didn't change his activities. In fact, he increased his spiritual activities. So much so that he was feeling so much ecstasy in his relationship with the Lord, that at one point he said, I wouldn't trade my position for nothing. I wouldn't trade this situation for nothing. And he meant it. It wasn't just words. He was feeling so much pleasure within his own heart that despite his body being so racked with cancer, it didn't really matter. He was feeling so much of the presence of the Lord within his heart. This is the power of spiritual life. That even if one is in the most difficult situation, one is not, what we say, disturbed. Or one is not overwhelmed by the situation. And if we, how do you do that? Chant the holy names of the Lord. Chant the holy names. So there's an unlimited ocean of spiritual happiness. That's the fifth benediction. The sixth benediction is that pratipadam purnam rita swarnanam, that every step of one spiritual practice, one is getting newer and newer understandings of the relationship with God. It's not like it becomes static. As you more you chant and the more you serve, Krishna reveals himself in so many more wonderful ways. So much so that at one point one can even understand what is their relationship with God in the spiritual world. Who I am in the spiritual world, what is my relationship with the Supreme Lord, like that. This is the power of the holy name. And the last benediction, Sarvatma Snaparam. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, nothing is left. Inside, outside, everything is purified. Everything is clean. So these are the seven benedictions. That simply one chants the holy names of the Lord, one can achieve perfection in life and attain to the spiritual platform. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Chant, 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 can't, can't, can't. Right? No time. But we have to see what an intelligent person will make an investment for the future. Intelligent person will make an investment for the future. What I do now will actually be put into my spiritual account. So, not chant, 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 can, can't, but chant, 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 yes, yes, yes. One should chant the holy names of the Lord. The Lord has come personally simply to give this message to us. And he sacrificed his own comforts to come to this world just to teach this principle. And not only to teach it, but to practice it. And not only that, he went out of his way to convince people to take it up. So much so that he took the order of sannyas. Greatest sacrifice. Even the Lord became a renunciate just to teach certain people in who he could reach from that platform. Why? The Lord loves his devotees. The Lord loves every living being unlimitedly. And what gives pain to the Lord is he doesn't like to see us suffer. He doesn't like to see us unhappy. And he's given us the formula. If you simply chant the holy names of the Lord, then again we can awaken our relationship with God. It's like the story in the Christian scriptures, the prodigal son. Maybe you all know that. A son, he's living in the family. And he has another couple brothers. And the father's very rich. He's very wealthy. And he can maintain the family easily with no problem and way beyond that. But one of the sons says, why should I stay here? Let me go out. He leaves his father. He starts traveling. And then he gives up his connection with his father and with his wealth. and he starts living like a pauper. He's just begging day to day, getting little food, sleeping wherever he can find a place. He's more or less, now he's in a very impoverished condition. And in that situation, he's suffering. So finally, someone comes up to him and says, "Hey, you know, aren't you the son of that wealthy man? Why don't you just go home? He'll take care of you. You don't have to live like this." So Krishna's like that. He wants us to come back to him so we don't have to suffer anymore. God doesn't suffer. We suffer, but he suffers the pain of love. Just like when the child is sick, the mother may also feel unhappy because the child is suffering because she loves the child. So it's not that she's suffering, but she's suffering the pain of love. So in the same way, the Lord suffers the pain of love. He doesn't like to see us, you know, undergoing ignorance, illusion, so many problems in this world. Simply take up this chanting of the holy names of the Lord, and guaranteed you'll start to awaken your natural loving relationship with the Lord. Because the Lord is so eager to give this process that he's made it easy. He's made it, in this age, it's so easy. Just chant. And we say, chant and be happy. That's all. If you chant, you'll be happy. But when you give away something for free, everybody thinks it's cheap, right? If you put a price on it, then people buy it because they think it's valuable. But Lord Chaitanya is giving. And what is the price? The price is your time. That's all. Your time and a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith and some time. And gradually, through that chanting process, so many things happen. So many positive things happen. So, and in the next verse, the Lord says, there's no rules, no regulations, no restrictions. One can chant the holy name any time, any place, anywhere. There's no qualifications for chanting. It doesn't require an education, doesn't require an economic background, doesn't require a particular birth in a family. Simply, one has to have two things, a tongue and two ears. And everybody has that. And that's the only requirement, and one can chant the holy name.
I think another what we're chanting, we reminded ourselves that we are devotees of God.
Yeah, and that's one thing.
And we really start following the principle. Mm-hmm. Like chanting is really reminding. And we forget in this materialistic world that we are part of that.
Yeah. Someone asked our spiritual master, why do you chant? He says, we chant because we want to be in touch with God. If you associate with God, it's good association. Really, it's the best. Sometimes you're looking for good association, you know, and it's just, you just don't find it. Just chant, you can associate with the best. We may not completely realize it at the beginning, but if we continue, then that realization starts to manifest. Another time, someone asked our spiritual master. He was giving an interview in New York, and there were some reporters there. And the reporter says, they called him Swamiji. Swamiji, what do you get from chanting? And Prabhupada said, we get chanting from chanting. Because if the reporter was thinking, well, maybe you get some power, you get some, you know, like, you know, some followers, some money, something. But he was saying that the more you chant, the more happy you feel. So what's the result? You want to chant more. So chanting leads to more chanting. So be careful. If you start chanting, you may just continue. It's dangerous. But that's the mercy of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are Krishna and Balaram, was it Vrajendra Nandana Ye, Sachi Sutta Hoilose, Balaram Hoilo Nitai. that same Vrajendra Nandan of Vrindavan and Sri Balaram has come again as Gaur Nittai. None different. And they're giving that mercy of Vrindavan in this age. Previously, that mercy of Vrindavan could not be reached in any other Kali Yuga or in any other age. But when Lord Chaitanya came, he's opening up the doors of Vrindavan, which is the highest spiritual attainment. He's giving the love of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan through the chanting of the holy names. In the scriptures it says that the highest activity within human society is to perform devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And the essence of that devotional service is to chant the Lord's name. So the essence of the essence is the holy name. The essence of the essence is. And again, just to qualify what I say, it's not that you have to chant only the Krishna name. Any name of God can be chanted. If you follow a different tradition, in that tradition, there's a particular name that is designated as the Lord. You can chant that name. There's prayers and chants. But that's the focus in this age. Glorify the Lord by chanting His name. Like that. And because the name of the Lord and the Lord is absolute. When you chant the Lord's name, you associate with the Lord through sound vibration. Ian, you're chanting? You like it? Why do you like it? He says it feels good when he does it. Yeah, it's pretty good. That's one of the benedictions. So. Any other questions? Yeah. What's the significance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Well, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, coming in that particular form, he taught the chanting of the holy name in that mantra. So to remain chaste to the teachings of the Lord, we follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are considered to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he taught that. So we chant the holy names of the Lord following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is our sampradaya. He's the foundation of our whole sampradaya, our whole teachings. Everything we practice in terms of our devotional activity centers around the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which are coming through his representative, the six Goswamis. Like that. But the Lord Krishna's name is powerful. It's the supreme name in the sense that the second verse is Nam Nam Akardi Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktish. The word Nija Sarva Shaktish means all the potencies of the Lord are found in his name. All. Can you imagine that? No. But it's there. It's understood through practice. It's understood through faith. Like that. Just chant the holy names of the Lord. It's so easy. What do we do in the... Okay, yes. Okay.
So, somebody mentioned that souls cannot take birth or they cannot die and they cannot change.
Krishna says in Gita.
So we see that we have so many souls and every soul is of different nature, but they emanate from one powerful source, which is Paramatma. And how come they are different nature? How come they are different? If they cannot change.
The soul is the individual, and the soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. We have the same qualities of God in smaller quantity. It's more like a drop to an ocean. In the drop there is liquidity, in the drop there is maybe some salt or some composition chemicals. But in the ocean there are many more things that are not in the drop. So that's our relationship with the Lord. We are a tiny particle of His energy. but we are also spiritual in nature. But each soul is individual, and each soul has a loving relationship with the Lord in a certain way. Each soul is individual. Just like each human being is also individual. No two human beings are alike. Similarly, no two souls are alike also. Because you are you.
Do get influenced according to the circumstances. I'm trying to think of the, I think the demons were there, Ravana, Kamsa, they were also souls.
Of course.
So, but they were influenced according to the circumstances.
Well, influence means contact with the material energy. As soon as the soul comes in contact with the material energy, it takes on material characteristics and activities, which are contrary to the nature of the soul. And therefore, in that, it assumes another identity. Just like we think I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm Indian, or I'm American, I'm this, I'm that. These are all associating with the material energy, we develop these things.
And how close the soul is connected to the Lord, yeah, I think more you connect to the Lord, less you will connect to the materialistic.
Yeah, that's true. The more you are associating with the Lord in devotion, the less you're affected by this material energy. Christ also said that, be in the world but not of the world. Be in the world but not of the world. That means you can be in this material world and have what we say so-called activities that are activities within this world, but you don't have to be worldly minded. What's that?
But each soul has the same principle. It is a matter of what form that soul is adopting, depending on whether it's more close to the Lord or to the world.
Yeah, the soul is called, there is three energies. There's Bahiranga Shakti, Antaranga Shakti, and Tatastha Shakti. Bahiranga Shakti is this material energy. Antaranga Shakti is the spiritual energy. What is the soul? The soul is Tatastha Shakti. Tatastha means marginal. That means it's sitting on the fence. It can go either way. It can identify with the material energy or identify with the spiritual energy. It's marginal. So as we associate with that energy, we develop those characteristics and qualities. But our material nature is conditional, whereas our spiritual nature is constitutional. Conditional means it comes by a certain set of conditions. And when those conditions change, so is that material nature change. But constitutional means something that never changes. It's innate, it's inherent within the soul. So our primary nature is spiritual, and our secondary nature is material. That's all. Yes. Any authorized name.
Any Lord name.
Yeah.
Those who take, you call Muslim, they take
Allah.
Allah. So Allah is also as good as for Hindu, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, it's okay. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar means God is great. So, yeah. If they're chanting, then that's nice. That's also chanting. That's also prayer. That's also bhakti. Okay? The Lord's not sectarian.
Is Allah secondary name or primary name?
What does Allah mean? The great one. God is great. Huh?
So that God is the secondary name.
I think it's close. When you say greatness, is that primary or secondary? Primary? Secondary?
God is good, right?
God is good. God is great. But how great is God? How good is God? How powerful is God? That question is still left out. When you say God is great, it's like say you're in. What's the example? Prabhupada used the example of Mr. Frog. Mr. Frog is in his well. So another frog comes over and says, "Hey, Mr. Frog, did you know there's a big ocean out there?" He says, "Really? How big is it?" "Oh, it's really big. Is it 5 times bigger than my well? Maybe it's 10 times bigger than my well." Does that really describe the ocean? So greatness cannot be simply described by our own limited mind. How great is God? Someone asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada was saying, God can do anything. He's all powerful. So someone asked a question. It was a trick question. If God is all powerful, can he create a rock he can't lift? Yeah, that was the question. Can he create a rock he can't lift? So if you say yes, that limits his lifting power. If you say no, that limits his creating power. So what's the answer? Prabhupada answered it. Oops. Prabhupada said, yes, God can create a rock he can't lift, and then he'll lift it. In other words, don't try to trick the spiritual master. No, because Lord Chaitanya has empowered this particular mantra in this age. The other mantra that is equal to that is Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. That is also Maha Mantra. But Lord Chaitanya chanted Hare Krishna, so we follow that.
I remember reading Prabhupada's book saying that one name of Krishna is equal to 3 names of Lord Ram, and then 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to like 1 name of Lord Ram.
Yeah. What does that mean? It means that if the names are absolute, can there be greater absolute? I mean, the Lord's name. It simply means that the investment of the potency is somewhat little less, but still the name is absolute. The name of Vishnu is Vishnu, the name of Ram is Ram, the name of Krishna is Krishna. But if you study the qualities of Vishnu, you study the qualities of Ram, you study the qualities of Krishna, you see that Krishna displays certain qualities that no other aspects of the Godhead display. So, what are those qualities that Krishna displays and no other aspects of the Godhead display? He's surrounded by his loving devotees. He charms the living entity by the sound of his flute, his beautiful bodily effulgence, and his uncommon pastimes in Vrindavan are unique only to Krishna. No other incarnation or no other manifestation of the Godhead has those. So Krishna is Govindam Adipurusham Tamaha. He's the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. The original. If you'll take a candle and you light another candle and you light another candle and you light another candle, the first candle, all the candles have the same illuminating power, but the first candle is the source. But Krishna is the source of all.
There are no rules and regulations for chanting, but are there some things that help in the process of developing pure chanting and also increase our faith?
Question is, there's no rules or regulations in chanting, but there are certain things that you can do to increase the quality of your chanting. Yeah. A lot. The example is given is The elephant, he takes a nice bath, and then he goes back on the shore and throws dirt over himself again. Right? That's the elephant. It's called Hasti Snan. He takes his bath in the lake, and then as soon as he gets out, with his trunk, he throws dust over himself. So what's the purpose of his bath? Very little. So we have to stop doing those things that are negative or against our spiritual life, and then practice those things that are positive. And then when you're chanting, then the advancement is fast. And if you're doing the positive and the negative, then the holy name will work very slowly. So what are those things? One has to avoid sinful activities. One has to avoid sinful activities. And one has to cultivate a mood of devotion in their life. If one is critical or fault-finding, if one is envious, then it's very hard to get the mercy of the Lord, the name, very hard, although we're chanting. These things, the holy name is supposed to remove them, but at the same time, we have to let them go as the holy name removes them. We have to let these things go. So a quality of a Vaishnava and the chanting of the holy names go together. What's the qualities of a Vaishnava? The certain qualities that make up a spiritually minded person. I was going to ask him how much they charge to wreck a house. They do it for free, maybe. Anyway, they say children should be seen and not heard. They're not seen, but they're heard. It's the opposite.
There are two or three mothers trying to control them.
They're trying to control. I'll tell you a secret. Don't give your kids television. It makes them more wild. Put a kid in front of a TV, he's quiet. But what happens? As soon as the TV's off, he becomes more wild. TV actually increases the rowdy nature of a child. Makes them worse. Really, it does. That's a fact. This is a scientific, proven fact. TV is, there's an old saying, it says kill your TV. TV is like, it's like they call it the one-eyed monster, right? By the time a child is 11 years old, no, by the time he's 14 years old, he'll see 11,000 murders. Isn't that wonderful? Great education. Then we wonder why we have so many problems. I wonder why. TV is just so, it's one of the biggest mind-destructing agencies in this world. It just cripples people's intelligence and their ability to think, especially children. It's not a good babysitter. Believe me, it's better to have the human touch. Give your child that, and then they grow up more peaceful and more happy. Anyway, so much for TV. Any more questions? Did that answer your question?
Yes, ma'am. I had one more question.
What?
The best association is Krishna.
You can associate with your husband too.
Yeah, but that's why I was thinking. Does that mean that we should isolate ourselves?
No. And associating with Krishna means associating with Krishna's devotees, because Krishna is most experienced through his devotees. So Lord Chaitanya performed two things above everything: chant the holy names, associate with devotees. These two things are the foundation of all spiritual practices. Because in association to devotees, we find happiness. In association to devotees, we get knowledge. In the association of devotees, we get purified. In the association of devotees, we actually can experience the presence of the Lord. Association is the source of all happiness. But if you think the devotees are a botheration, then you'll have a problem. Devotees are actually, they reflect Krishna in some degree or another. So yes, that's the other thing. Chant the holy names and associate with the Lord's devotees and experience transcendental happiness. Yes?
What happens if there's only chance to go to
Prabhupada said that if you simply chant and don't follow the process, it's like cooking with smoke. Ever try to cook with smoke? You might say, wherever there's smoke, there's fire. But then Prabhupada said, it'll take you 300 years to cook your breakfast. So, follow the process has to be the foundation for everything else we do. So, associating with devotees is the foundation, is the process. Internet? It's like what's a net? It's something you get caught in. They call it website, right? You get caught in the web. No, physical association. Because you can serve the devotees nicely. And Lord Chaitanya said there's, in order to chant the holy name, you need four qualities: humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for others. And how do you get them? In association with devotees. Because if you're not humble and you're not tolerant, you can't really associate with devotees. So devotees force you to develop these qualities. Otherwise, there's no real association. So the qualities that are necessary to chant the holy name are found in the association of devotees. That means you have to give up your false ego. You have to understand that, you know, we want to be purified. We want to chant the holy name. So we accept association of devotees as the opportunity to develop those qualities that are necessary to chant the holy name. Lord Chaitanya said, humble like a grass, tolerant like a tree, giving respects to others, people can give respects to others, but the other one is the hard one, not expecting respect for yourself. Everyone wants respect. But if you want respect, you'll be disappointed. These are the qualities. What is the kirtani a sadat ahi? What does the word sada means? Always. One can constantly chant the holy name by practicing these four qualities. So Lord Chaitanya gives the seven benedictions. In the second verse, he explains the qualities and the no restrictions, but in the last verse he says, Dordaivam idrisam ihajini nuanuragaha, that although everything is so easy, so much mercy, so many benediction, I have no attraction. So what does no attraction come from? Offenses. From offenses. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, offenses are like clouds. They cover the pure sun of the holy name. So how to get rid of offenses? The next verse. Trinadapi sunichena tayorivasu hishnuna amanina mamanadena. Practice these things and then kirtaniya sadadahi. And then from the fourth verse, by practicing that, nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadishakami manma janmani janmani ishvari bhavatad bhakti rahit. I don't want wealth. I don't want followers. I don't want the pleasures of the opposite sex. I don't even want to be known as a great scholar of the Vedas. I don't even want mukti. What do I want? Janmani Janmani Ishvare. That comes by following the third verse. And one develops that desire. So each verse is leading to the next verse. And then finally the last verse. The seventh and eighth verse is simply Radharani's love for Krishna. They're very high in those last two verses. Study that Shikshastika prayers, everything is in them. Everything. Lord Chaitanya gave the whole formula.
Yeah.
It all begins with chanting. Okay, maybe we should stop here. Okay? Because we can stop here. Any of our guests, you have any questions?
It's very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and joining us. Thank you. Good. Thank you. Thank you. And so maybe we can chant for 5-10 minutes?
Yeah, maybe a small
RT. RT, okay. Mm-hmm.